The nation of Israel to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for that precious place in the city of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray for the peace of your people, the peace in that area. Lord, we pray that you would calm the situation down. We pray, God, that you would remove this attack, that you would remove the aggression. Lord, we pray that you would remove that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit that hates the people of Israel. And Lord, we ask, Father, for you to intercede, for you to intervene in the situation, that you would minister to those that are hurting right now, those that are still held captive, Lord. We pray, Lord, for their release. And we pray, God, this very day, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in Israel. Lord, that you would reveal yourself as the defender of the nation. Lord, we pray just for a mighty move of your spirit to remove the aggressors out of the land and to protect that place. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's a great thing to do, continue to lift them up, and I know for a fact there's people over there just desperate for prayers. There's not much else they can do. Like my friend, his name is Greg. He's been a missionary over there for probably almost 20 years now. He's been a missionary in Jerusalem. He does media, and he translates it from English to, you know, to their languages over there, and spreads the gospel right there in Jerusalem. So, but he said they're desperate for prayers. They're not really asking for money. They don't know what to do. They need God to intervene. So just pray for them. Amen? All right. Well, with that said, we're going to turn our attention to the Word this morning. I believe God's got an on-time Word. God's been dealing with me over this Word for the church today. For all week, this Word's just been in my spirit. And so I'm very thankful to be able to be here today and thankful that you're here. And let's go ahead and get into the Word. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We ask, Lord, for your anointing to be upon the Word this morning. Lord, we ask that you would open every blind eye, that you would touch every hurting heart. Lord, we ask that you would minister to every wayward soul this day. Lord, that you would strengthen the weak. And Lord, that you would direct the path of those that don't know what direction to take. We ask this morning for your anointing in this place. I pray, God, for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going down to the end of the chapter, down in verse number 24 through 26. And one of the things that I want to touch on this morning is the reality that the snares of the enemy are out there, and the undiscerning, undisciplined, and unprepared child of God can oftentimes find themselves ensnared by the devil. And I want you to know that once you get saved, the battle's not over. That's when the battle begins. Amen. Until you get right with God, the devil's really not messing with you too much. But when you get saved, there's a target on your back, and the devil wants to ensnare you. And so what we want to do is be prepared, and we want to be disciplined, and we want to be ready for the day of battle. But the snare, amen, is a tactic that the enemy uses. Now, I want to talk about the word snare for a minute, but I just want to put this picture in your mind. A snare is like they used to have a little box with a stick lifting it up, and they would have like a piece of food in there. And when the animal goes in there to get that piece of food, they would hit the stick and the box would collapse on them. Well, it doesn't work if you're not attracted to the food. Amen? It doesn't work if you're not attracted to what's in the trap. It only works if what's in the trap is something you want. Amen. So this is the reality. You can't be ensnared if Jesus is all you want, if he satisfies your every need, if he is your all in all, if he is the love of your life, if you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you don't have to worry about the snares of the wicked one. But when he's just our part-time boyfriend, when he's just our Sunday morning religion, when he's just a casual thing, then our heart truly longs for the things of the world. And the devil will see that, and he will use that to ensnare you and entrap you. If it's the adoration of men more than God, He will put that out there in a way that seems religious. If it's money, he'll put that out there in a way that seems religious. Well, God wants you to have that. If God truly loved you, he would have already given it to you. In all kinds of ways. I've seen people justify lying on their taxes. Well, they won't care, and I can use it to further the kingdom of God. No, you can't. If you steal that money, you're not furthering the kingdom of God. Amen. You in sin and you're wrong, and you got to repent and get right. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. But the reality is if you'll love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you don't have to worry about that attraction under that box trap called a snare, because God will already have purchased your heart. But it's those times whenever we're not fully in love with God that we're in a place that's dangerous for the child of God. That's when you're in a valley of decision. That's when you're in a place that's unfamiliar. That's when you're in this kind of a situation. You know, sometimes you can be carrying on and life turns out not like you planned. They say it's a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. But sometimes you get a sickness, or sometimes tragedy strikes. Sometimes you lose a job. Sometimes you go through a hardship that nobody really understands but you. And if you tried to tell them about it, it'd take about 10 years. You got time to listen, because it's going to take a while. But sometimes we go through situations in life that it's hard to explain. Amen? And that can be discouraging to the child of God. And you can begin to go after other things in those moments. I want to tell you that this is a snare of the enemy. Let's go ahead and get into the word this morning in verse number 24. It says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and tell you that if you're not loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you are opposing yourself. Amen. You are setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for destruction. You're opposing your own self whenever you're not loving God and following God and serving God and obeying God. You are opposing yourself. That's the worst thing you could ever do. The worst thing you could ever do is put self above God. Come on, listen now. The worst thing you could ever do is put your way above God's way. That's the worst thing you could do. Well, you know, I just think that we really don't need to do it like that. Well, what does God say? Because it really doesn't matter what your opinion is or what my opinion is. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. He's the one that sets the standard. He's the one that sets the mark. It's his word that we've got to come up to. And when we're not coming up to his word, we're opposing ourselves. Look at that. It says that now Paul is writing this to Timothy, just, you know, a little bit of context for you. Paul's writing this to Timothy because Timothy is the pastor in Ephesus, and he's trying to get him to minister the right way. And he's saying, look, don't fight with folks. Teach the folks. Show the folks. Be willing to be patient. And listen, because there are people out there that oppose themselves. You know, it's so sad that a lot of times the devil doesn't have to mess with a whole lot of people. Amen. A lot of times they just oppose themselves so much, they set themselves up, and they become low-hanging fruit for the devil. Amen. Now, I know there's some he's got to weave a master plan of a trap for, but there's others of us that all he's got to do is spray paint a poisonous apple. And some of us, all he's got to do is just blow. Whoa. Did you feel that? I'm done. Some of us, that's all it takes is just a little bit of resistance, a little bit of trial, a little bit of hardship, a little bit of setback, a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of things not going my way for us to say, that's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, there are some that oppose themselves. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I just got to say this, though. We all know that our adversary is the devil. But look at the word. Don't defeat your own self. Amen. I mean, our adversary is the devil. But some of us are our own worst enemies. We're going to get into a few things today, and I'm going to show you some of the ways that these snares will take people. And it's going to get very real. But you need to know that it's not just the devil. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's you. Amen. I was talking with a gentleman this weekend, and he was talking about how, well, you have to sin. I said, no, you don't. The Word of God says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Oh, no, I have to. No, your flesh will, but the Spirit can overtake the flesh. Your spirit, in the Spirit, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. But my flesh will defeat me. Amen. And so the reality is, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you are opposing yourself. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're not walking in the Spirit of God, you are setting yourself up and you're opposing your own self. Trying to do it in your own strength, and you can't. Amen. Now listen to what he says here. He says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now that's going to be important later on. To the acknowledging of the truth. Listen to verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, this part I got to touch on. It says that there's a little bit of dispute in commentaries that you read, and it says that, you know, they're taken captive by him at his will. It doesn't mean that the devil has a will to captivate you and he can take you. No, it means that the devil takes you captive by your will. By your will. See, he sets the trap. He sets the snare, but he can't force you to take it. He can't make you take it. He can't make you take the wrong road. He can't make you not love God. He can't make you stop serving God, but he can set the trap out there. He can find something that you love more than God and set it on a silver platter. He can just set it right there, and he has to wait and see if you'll take the bait. Maybe it's because somebody offended you. Maybe it's because of a hang-up. Maybe it's because of a disappointment, some grudge that you have. But he'll put it on a silver platter. He can't make you eat it. He couldn't have taken that fruit and shoved it down Eve's mouth. He just encouraged her to do it. Look how beautiful this fruit is. Can you believe that God's withholding this from you? I mean, if he really loved you, he'd let you have anything you wanted. Doesn't that sound like some people talking today, right? Oh, if God really, he let you have whatever you wanted. Now, there's some things God said don't have. Amen. One of my favorite ministers, he said, if you have to choose between being large and being clean, choose clean. Come on now. It's better to be right with God than to have whatever you want, when you want, how you want. You better listen. God is holy. Holy, holy. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord, according to the Word of God. God means business. But yeah, the enemy, he'll set this thing out there on the snare. And what it means is, when you choose that, then he's taking you captive by your own will. By your own will, by your own admonition, by your own desire, you chose something above God. That's what a snare is. You chose something above God. How many times can we honestly say, that's happened to me? I can tell you, there's times in our life that we go through situations and we choose that thing over God. And we suffer the consequences of it. And the sad thing is, sometimes people want to blame God and say, well, you know, if you would have done this, I wouldn't have had that. And if you would have done this, I would have had that. You go back to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Eve didn't blame God. She blamed the devil, didn't she? She blamed Adam and the devil. But we don't blame God. Now, look at this. It says in verse number 26 that they may recover themselves. I want to touch on this for a second. Now, the word recover themselves in the Bible, that's one word. It's broken into two in our language, but it's one word. And what it means is to sober up. Sober up. That's what it means. So what it's saying is that we've got a work to do as ministers, because there are people out there that are opposing themselves, But what we want to do is we want them to wise up. We want them to sober up. We want them to realize what they've done. And the way that we do that is through the Spirit of God. God's got to communicate to them so that they can recover themselves. That doesn't mean that you deliver yourself out of bondage, but you've got to wake up to realize you've been ensnared. The first step you've got to do is you've got to realize that you need God's help. You've got to realize that you need help. The worst thing in ministering the gospel is when you preach and people don't think they need it. You go try to preach in a prison and watch the difference. You preach in any brick and mortar church around. You preach, you'll see maybe 5 to 10% of the people are amen, amen, amen. You go preach in a prison, about 95% of the people are amen, amen, amen. Why? Because they know they need to hear the word. Amen. They've been sobered up. When they got arrested and those handcuffs got put on, they realized, I'm on the wrong road. Something's got to change. I've got to get some things right. But you look at the streets of America and there's people that are walking around. And hey, as long as they can go get a cheeseburger after church, they're not too much worried about it. They just trying to keep everything doggy paddling along, keep their head above water. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to, you know, stay out of trouble. I'm trying to just honor God with the little bit that I have. And, you know, I'm not meaning any harm. I'm just trying to get by. And this trying to get by, good old boy, good old girl thing is one of the ways that the devil uses to ensnare you. Now, it says here that they may recover themselves. What I'm talking about there is that people in prison, they've gotten recovered right there. They've sobered up. They realize they need help. Now, what they need is the Word. What they need is the Holy Spirit. They need God to move. But they are very acutely aware that they've messed up. The problem in the churches in the streets of America is people don't know that they need God. People don't know that they need God. See, this is what happened to Eve and Adam. I'm going back to this story for a reason. But whenever they ate of that forbidden fruit, they immediately realized they were naked. The glory of God had left. And they immediately took those fig leaves. So they immediately sobered up and realized there's a problem. Now, did they handle it right? Not right away. But they eventually got right with God. God helped them out. But they realized that they weren't right. And I want to tell you, your first step to recovery is admitting that you need God. Admitting that there's a problem and admitting that you need God. This is the very beginning of getting out of a snare that the devil has people in today. If people won't admit that they need God, it's hard to help them out. You ever tried to talk to somebody that don't think they need God? You ever tried to talk to somebody and don't think they need God's help? Amen. They think they know everything. It's hard to talk to them. It takes the Holy Ghost miracle to break through. And he can, but it takes a miracle to break through. Now, I want to touch on this for a second. The word here, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's something that somebody gets fixated by, the snare. I told you earlier that it's a trap. It's what they put under a box, but it has to be something that appeals to you. It's something that mesmerizes you, something that you get fixated on, something that you get addicted to, something you get addicted to. What can this be like in our lives? You know, some of us today are captive to our past. I want to minister on this for a second. You see, some of us, we don't realize whenever God saves us and God has cleansed us and God has forgiven us and God has made us a new creation in Christ Jesus, we're not who we used to be. Old things have passed away and all things have become new in Jesus. But there's a trap from the enemy, amen, because listen, he can't change your past. He can't change your future. Amen? But what if he gets you to believe a lie? What if he just keeps bringing up your past? You know, if somebody that was caught in adultery, Jesus ministered to one time. A woman caught in adultery. Remember that? And You know, they wanted Jesus to stone this woman, and he wouldn't do it. He said, he who's without sin cast the first stone. Nobody could do it. And he said, neither do I. But you remember what he told her? He said, go and sin no more. In other words, here's a new opportunity to be something different. Don't go back to being an adulterer. Don't go back to being an adulteress. Here's new life. Walk in it. Amen? And in the Christian's life, when you come to Christ and the blood of Jesus cleanses you of your sin, you're purged. Your past is purged from that point forward. Your past, I'm not talking about your future, your past is purged. You are no longer who you once were in Jesus. Old things are gone. So if you were an adulterer, if you were a homosexual, if you were a drunkard, if you were a drug addict, whatever the case may be, a liar, a fornicator, prideful, whatever the case may be, a thief, the old things are passed away. Amen. In Jesus, all things are made new. Now you have a fresh start. Amen. Now if you go back to those old things, it's a different story. It's a different story. But listen, what the devil will do is he will call you by that old name. Listen to me. There's a reason why God wants you to get this message. The devil will call you by your old name. Amen. Hello? Is this that adulterous woman? She don't live here anymore. She's been changed by the blood of the Lamb. She's been cleansed by the Lamb of God. Old things are passed away and all things are made new in Jesus. Amen. She's not here anymore. Hallelujah. But the devil will put that, and there's a reason why I'm telling you this, because it's something that your flesh craves. Not your spirit, your flesh. You know, sometimes our flesh just loves to be low down. Sometimes people love the valley. If you've ever battled depression, you know what I'm talking about. If you battled depression, you know it's a deep well, and your flesh loves that darkness. Your flesh loves it. And sometimes when it comes to this reality of being called by our old name, drunkard, fornicator, adulterer, harlot, homosexual, whatever the case may be, when the devil calls you by your old name, you've got to have the wherewithal to say no in the name of Jesus. I have been changed. I have been redeemed. I have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. I am not who I once was. I am made new in Jesus Christ. God has called upon you to recover yourself out of these snares. But these snares are there. The devil can't make you take the bait, but your flesh will want to. Amen. There's times that you're walking and everything's moving forward, and it doesn't matter what comes at you. You're going to defeat it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's do it. But there's other times that you've suffered setbacks and things didn't go the way you wanted, and you've had a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of hard time at work, a little bit of hard time at home. Then the SWEBCO gets cut off, and this setback happens, and that setback happens. And then here comes the accuser with this little title under that snare box. And he says, see, you always were a harlot. You always were a drug addict. You always were a drunkard. That's why things aren't working for you. That's who you are. That's who you are. And that's when the battle has come to your front door. Now, the battle belongs to the Lord. Make no mistake about it. The battle belongs to the Lord. But the battle has come to your front door. And in this moment, God is equipping you for that battle. So that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what to do when this battle comes. Because you are not exempt from the snares of the devil. But you've got to learn how to bypass them. You've got to learn how to walk around them. You've got to learn how to say no to the snares of the devil in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, here is something important I want you to see. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to touch on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to move to verse number 3 through 5. The enemy lures the unsuspecting and the undiscerning. It's one thing for you to not know the tactics of the enemy. It's one thing for you to not know. But God wants you to know. God's given you the Word of God. God's given you an instruction book for your life. It's not what pastor knows. It's not what you know. It's what the Word of God tells you. This is God's Word. Amen. And you've got to come back to the Word of God and get equipped. This is where you get equipped at. You don't look to another man to equip you. You look to God to equip you. You need the Word of God to equip you and the Spirit of God to make it real, to bring that life, to bring that anointing on the Word of God so it's not a dry, dusty word, but it's a living word in the name of Jesus. You need to be equipped by the Word of God. So you go back to that Word of God and you say, Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, and let the Word speak because I need instruction. There's snares out there. And the devil knows, amen, what you're addicted to. The devil knows what lure to use. Any fisherman knows what type of bait to use at certain points. The water's this kind of temperature. Use this bait. It's this kind of fish. Use that kind of bait. Any good fisherman knows how to switch up the bait for the right fish at the right time. And what I'm telling you is the devil's been around longer than you. And he knows how to switch up the bait on you. And what I started this message out with is God's called you to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you'll do that, you won't touch the snare. You won't touch that bait. You won't mess with it because you're already full. Think about it. A fish in the water, amen, you put a little worm on the hook. If that fish has already eaten 20 worms, amen, he's not going to go for that one on the hook. But when that fish is starving and that fish hadn't eaten in a while and that fish hasn't been where it's supposed to be and that little worm comes down on the hook, he says, that looks weird. It's in a little J shape. It looks weird, but I'm gonna bite it anyways. And that's the last thing he ever does. Then he becomes a fillet. But the reality is God's calling on you to get satisfied in him. Get satisfied in him. Let him be who satisfies your soul, and you won't desire what's under that snare trap. You won't desire these things. You see, if you're full of the Holy Spirit when the enemy brings your past up, it's no problem. You say, you liar. That's not who I am in Jesus' name. But you see, when you're not walking in the Spirit, when you're not walking in the Spirit and you're not walking in the things of God and you're not full of the Holy Spirit and you're not following God with all your heart, when the enemy comes and he says, I know who you are, adulteress, adulterer, you go, man, I'm hoping nobody finds out what I did 20 years ago. What you did 20 years ago has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Look, let me tell you something. I want to touch on this. The devil can't take those past sins and reattach them to you. If they've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, they're in the sea of forgetfulness. God says he'll remember them no more as far as the east is from the west. He will remember it no more. The charge has been dropped in the name of Jesus. Now, he can't reattach it to you, but he can make you think. He can get you captive by your own will. He can make you think that that's who you are. And if he can make you think that, he can ensnare you and get you to oppose your own self, as we saw earlier. This is what happens to many people. Now it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, a lot of people believe that the battle is in the flesh. You can't take a cast iron skillet and knock the devil out of somebody. I know people have tried. But you can't knock the devil out of somebody with a cast iron skillet. You can only cast the devil out in the name of Jesus. But in the name of Jesus, you can cast the devil out. You can cast any unclean spirit out in the name of Jesus. Even the sons of Sceva knew that. But had they have had a relationship with God, they would have been able to do it. But you've got to have a relationship with God, and then you've got to operate in the authority that God gives you. And that authority is the name above every name, the name of Jesus. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. So when we're talking about these battles and we're talking about these situations, you've got to get your mind out of the natural. You've got to get your mind out of the natural. This is a supernatural battle. It's a supernatural battle. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, when the enemy brings one of your past charges up to you. Now, I'm touching on one snare. There's many aspects to this. I pray God gives me the liberty to go further in this little series. But when the enemy brings a past charge up to you, right, you've got to take that thing and say, that goes against the knowledge of God. Because according to the knowledge of God, that sin has been forgiven. That thing has been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and it is no longer who I am today. And then you've got to take that thought captive and say, Lord, this thought that just hit my heart, this thought that just entered into my mind, that was not from me, and that was not from you. So I know who that's from. That came from the devil. And I'm taking this thing captive, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You take that thought captive. And once you begin to walk in this thing, the Lord will begin to give you word of God to combat that thing with. Depending on what the situation is, God will give you a word for that thing. Amen. If God tells you, hey, you know what? I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Then when the enemy comes at you and says, see, that's who you are, that's why you're alone, you say, liar, in the name of Jesus. God said he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. My past has been cleansed. Amen. I'm forgiven in the name of Jesus. And God said he's with me. He will not leave me comfortless. He will be with me always, even to the end of the world. That's how you take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You got to do that. If you don't do that, you'll become ensnared by the enemy. He'll lay out a lot of traps until he finds one that works. I mean, you know, that's the kind of fisherman I was. I really didn't know what to use, but I would just keep switching up bait till something worked. Amen. And you know, that's what the devil does. He'll do that too. But again, it goes back to you finding all in Christ. So let me do this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Oh, got to get a little old. Every sermon needs a little bit of Old Testament in it. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. I want to talk about instruction here. This is an important part of this message this morning is instruction. How many of you know that God instructs you? He constructs you. He made you. But he didn't just construct you and just let you go. He gave you instruction too. Now, if you don't heed the instruction, it's not God's fault. You know, there's a lot of people that live contrary to this word. A lot of people live contrary to the word of God. That's not God's fault. Amen. God wrote it, God spoke it, and God's given it. Amen. Oh, and the Holy Spirit is coming. Listen, but if you don't heed the word of God, you're setting yourself up for a bad time. You know, I tell our kids sometimes, like, hey, look, before we go here, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do X, Y, and Z, okay? And I go back over. God, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, right? But if they don't do that, guess what? They don't get to Z. There's instruction here. And we've got to follow that instruction to get to where we want to go. Any parent could tell you that, right? Look, don't touch the stove. You're going to burn your hand. You can tell a kid that 20,000 times. But if they don't heed the instruction, if they don't listen to your word as your parent that cares for them, don't touch the stove. You're going to get burned. If they don't listen, they're going to find out the hard way. How many of us, that's where we are? God gives us instruction, but we've got to find out the hard way. I want to tell you, that's not the way to continue. Time is too short. The devil's too ruthless. You can't continue doing that. If you've done that in the past and you've gotten this far, you need to say, glory to God. Thank you for getting me through that. But from this point forward, I'm going to listen to instruction. Because life's too short and the devil's too ruthless to be playing around with my soul. He says in Proverbs 10, verse number 17, it says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth. I want to highlight to you those two words in the first part of the verse. Keepeth instruction. What does that mean to you? To keep instruction. It doesn't mean this, that you heard it. It doesn't mean that you listened. There's a lot of times that I tell my kids stuff and they listen, but they didn't keep it. Amen. I want to ask you, are you listening or are you keeping instruction? Because there's a difference between being listenable and learnable. You can talk like that from Texas, so don't worry. I'm from Texas. There's a difference between being listenable. A listenable person is someone that goes, That's how I got through school. I was very listenable. I would look at you, but my mind wasn't there, and I wasn't paying attention, right? I'm very listenable. But nothing changes until you get learnable. Nothing changes until you get learnable, until you say, Lord, those words coming in my ears, let them get in my heart. I'm going to order my life according to those words. I'm going to take those words and I'm going to follow those things. I'm going to go from listenable to learnable. And this is instructable. This is how you keep the instruction of God. Is how you don't let those words just go in the ear, but you let them sink down into the heart. And you begin to order your steps according to the word. Oh, so many people in churches today are very, very listenable. But how few are learnable? This is why Jesus, over and over, as he taught, as he preached the word of God, he would often say this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. What was he talking about? This very principle. Many people will bob their head. But how many people are truly being learnable? Letting it sink down into the heart. Now listen to the word of God today. There's a snare for your soul. There's a snare for your soul. It could be a charge from your past. It could be the devil calling you by who you used to be. Now, some of us, that won't work. We, you know, if he's just that outright. But I'm telling you, there's some people that are not walking in victory today because they don't think it's possible for them because of who they were. This gets real. They say, I can't be all that everybody else is because I was a this and a that. I was a this and a that, and I squandered things. I've wasted things. I've been to places. I've done things. But the Word of God says differently. And if you'll listen to the Word of God, I believe God's going to give you revelation this very day. This very day, I believe God's going to give you revelation. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to let the Word of God speak today. Sometimes, and I got to tell you this, your flesh craves things it shouldn't crave. Are you with me? Your spirit craves the things of God. Amen. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is what? Flesh is weak. But if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The battle's between the flesh and the Spirit. They're at war with one another, according to Galatians chapter 5. There's an enmity between the flesh and the Spirit, and it always will be until we go home. Until our flesh gets buried and our spirit rises up to meet the Lord, there's going to be a battle there. And you need to know that because your flesh craves, listen to me, the guilt, the shame. Your flesh don't want you to get close to God. Your flesh don't want to let go. Your flesh don't want that. It's at war with you. And when the devil begins to whisper of the past, that guilt and the shame of your past is addictive to the flesh. Addictive to the flesh. And so one of the things that you've got to do is you've got to know and understand that. And you've got to combat that with the Word of God. And I've quoted this verse twice in this message, but I'm going to read it to you this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you this in let's start with verse number 16. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if any man be in Christ, this is a spiritual position that you get into by putting your faith in him. This is a spiritual transaction that takes place when you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus and you believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you are born again and you get put in Christ, the Bible says it's like that picture of baptism when that old man gets buried in the baptism of death and that old man gets put in the watery grave and that new person comes out. See, first, before you can be the new, the old's got to get laid down. Do you know that when Jesus came out, and it's the reason why that verse 16 is there. When Jesus came out of that tomb, he came out with a body different than the one he went in with. It's a perfected body. Amen. There's no blood in it. All his blood was shed on Calvary's hill. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But he did have flesh and bone, and Thomas was able to touch that flesh and see that bone. Thomas was able to handle him. But the body that came out the grave was different than the body that came in. And some of us, we need to know this today. When you get in Christ, something's got to change. That old man's got to get laid down in order for that new man to rise up. In order for you to walk in the newness of life, the old man has to be laid down and buried and let go of and never to rise again. This is why we baptize in water. It's a picture of the grave. Now, he says here, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. This is your past. All things are passed away. You just don't know how I am. You know, if you step on my toes, I'm going to bop you on the head. That's just how I was raised. Old things passed away. Amen. I remember I do marriage counseling, and some relationships get crazy. I don't have to tell you that, but they do. But I remember talking with one, and they said, like, I'm not going to go specific, but he said, you know, I just don't understand why we have to go to this restaurant. Because, you know, I told him whenever we got married, we cannot go to this restaurant. And I said, why? Well, that restaurant, my ex, we used to go there all the time. And you know, I know he loves Chinese food, but I can't let him go there because that was my ex's favorite place and we can't do it. And I said, well, hold on. Are you married to your ex? No. Did you marry two people? No. Well, you can't put that on this new relationship. When you married this person, you didn't marry two people, you married one. And you can't bring stuff from the past into the present. You hear me? And when it comes to your walk with God, you can't bring the things from the past into the present. You can't say, well, that's how I've always done, and that's where I've always gone, and this is what I've always liked, and bring that into the present. You've got to be new today. And when you get married, those two become one. And when you get married to Christ, look, you're united to Him. You're in Christ. Old things are passed away. Now you are one in Christ Jesus, a new creature. And you've got to let those old ways, those old systems, the old reactions, the old you die. And you've got to be who God wants you to be. You've got to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if you're not, you will bite the snare of the wicked one, hook, line, and sinker. There's a reason why God wants you to hear this message, because the undiscerning and the undisciplined are setting themselves up. All the devil's got to do is hit the right snare at the right time, and you'll take it. Unless you get this principle down. Unless you get this principle down, I'll bring you back. Let's close where we started at in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to bring you back to this because God wants to give you instruction. And that's what you're getting today is instruction. If you're listenable and learnable. If you're listenable and learnable. Now, the reason why God wants to give you instruction is because God doesn't want you to be ensnared. And if you say, well, that'll never happen to me. Well, there's pride right there. God, again, gives us instruction for a reason. Because you need it. If you didn't need instruction, He wouldn't have given instruction. But you need the instruction of God. You don't need the wisdom of men. You don't need the wisdom of you. You need the instruction of God. Sometimes people say, why do you use the Bible so much? Because it's the Word of God. People don't need the Word of Kenny. They need the Word of God. Amen? We need to hear what God says on these matters. And you know, we get misled when we tell story time at the church, when we have jokes and in story time and book reports and, you know, according to my wisdom, man, that's when you get off track. But when you get back to the Word of God, the Word of God will set the captive free. The Word of God will liberate those that are bound. The Word of God will bring a word in due season. And the Word of God will bring life where there once was death. But you've got to get the Word of God and the anointing of God to do that. I'm going to read these three verses again as we close, but I want to show you God's heart on this issue, okay? God's heart on this issue is not when you get ensnared to say, told you, hope you like it down there. That's not who God is. Many times people find themselves ensnared, and you need to know this. God is not poking His finger at you. Told you. Uh-uh. God's a Savior. God's a Redeemer. God's a Deliverer. God's a Lifter of the weary. Amen. God came down to Adam after they sinned, and He said, Adam, where are you? Don't you know He knew where Adam was? What was He asking? Adam, tell me. God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to do that. He could have sent a lightning bolt, wiped out Adam and Eve, and started over. He didn't have to do that, but He's a Savior. He's a rescuer. He saw Adam and Eve afflicted. He saw Adam and Eve ensnared. He saw that they messed up, and He came down. He said, Adam, where are you? And today, if you're ensnared today, He's saying, hey, where are you? Are you where you need to be? Are you walking the way you need to be walking? Are you living the way you need to be living? Are you filled with the Spirit the way you're supposed to be? Hey, where are you? Why is God saying this? Because he cares, because he's a savior, because he's a deliverer, because he's a lifter of those that are bound and afflicted. That's who God is. That's who he was in the beginning. That's who he was in the garden. And that's who he is today, because our God never changes. He's the same. He always has been the same, and he always will be the same. And when he sees one of his children have been ensnared, he's not kicking you to the curb. He's coming down to where you are. And he's saying, hey, where are you at? Where are you? Where are you? And God's asking that this morning. Where are you? Are you where you need to be? Are you who God's called you to be? Are you walking in newness of life? Are you walking in the fullness of the Spirit? Are you following Jesus today? Where are you? He's come down. It says the servant of the Lord, this is the ministers of the gospel, the servant of the Lord must not strive. It's not about cast iron skillets. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Got to be patient with folks. I'm glad God was patient with me. I'm hard-headed, but once he gets through, I got it. It takes me a while. Amen? How about you? And aren't you glad that God's patient? He's patient. And he instructs us to be patient with one another. Because God doesn't want people to be kicked to the curb. God wants people to be rescued. And if you're not where you need to be, if you're not who you need to be right now, if you're not walking the way God wants you to walk, God is calling on you. I don't know how much time you got left. God's been patient. But that cutoff line could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. There is, you know, an appointment with death. Now listen, it says that we've got to be apt to teach, patient. Look at verse 25, 26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They've got to get to this place to where they say, you know what? The word of God is right. I'm not who I was. Maybe you're here today and you're not who you should be. Didn't God say, you're supposed to be a new creature? Why are you living the old life? Come on. Why are you hiding behind fig leaves? If God said that you're a new creature, be new in Christ. Be who God's called you to be. Get engaged in the things of God. He said they oppose themselves, but the desire of God is that they would acknowledge the truth. Jesus said, if you love him and follow him, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, God's calling you to acknowledge the truth. Come to that place where you say, you know what? The word of God is true. That's where true freedom comes. That's where you get free from your past. That's where you get free from the bondage of today. That's where you get free from the plans and the attacks of the wicked one. That's where freedom is, when you'll come to the truth, acknowledge the truth. And what is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. It says, after they acknowledge the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Again, recover themselves means to sober up. It literally means to sober up. To be sober again. To wake up. To wake up. How many Christians today need to wake up? Get out of the snare. Get out of the snare. I don't know what the snare is in your life, but I know that the enemy has set a snare up for you. I know he has. And I want you to know God's calling on you to get to the truth of the Word of God. Get the instruction of God on the issue. Turn back the accusations. Take captive those thoughts, those fiery darts, and turn them to the obedience of Christ. And God wants you to know today, that you can be recovered, that you can be recovered by turning to Jesus. He's the one that saves. He's the one that sets free. And today, if you'll not only be listenable, but learnable, God will cause you to walk in newness of life today. Amen. Lord, we bless you this morning, and we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for each and every person that is here today. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I spoke on patience, and I thank you, God, that you're patient with us. Lord, you know us.